close.
I want to welcome everybody to coming in, to tuning in to the Discussion Board Podcast. We certainly have a good one for you today. We have a special guest who we are definitely blessed to have in our presence. So,
no.
I present to some and introduce to others the head coach of the Pace University football team, Andy Rondo. How you doing, coach?
Yes, sir.
Boy, that is a warm, warm. Josiah, do you owe me money or something? That is a warm, warm greeting right there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Coach, listen, Coach.
That is a warm greeting. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
This is cool. It's been fun to chop it up with you guys as we come into this now, and let's keep it rolling that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And listen, anytime you want to be on here, we would certainly love to have you. We definitely love the insight that you continuously bring. Mm-hmm. And we just love the relationship that we've built. I know that's one of the things that we talked about in our senior meeting. I'm not sure if you remember, but that was one thing that came up. And I definitely love the relationship that was built from the time I came in. Matter of fact, scratch that. From the time we met at Bentley, you know, to the ending project, to the ending of my senior year, but definitely love to have you on. And we got a couple of questions that we love to ask you. I know we sent it ahead in advance, you know, just so that you were prepared. And one of the first ones that we want to ask, which you kind of talked to, a little bit about, was, you know, just kind of how's the team doing? You know, you got hit with COVID, a year off almost. Is what it feels like, but we just want to get an update on how things are going with you and the team at this point in time.
Well, thanks so much. Hey, look, at just to double back on that, if you remember circumstance, you remember at that day in Bentley, it was a rainy day, so we were stuck in the gym on that rainy day because the fields were this and that, and it was coming down cats and dogs. So just think of the fortune of that right there where, boy, we were, you know, that massive camp with those hundreds and hundreds of kids. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of based on the fact that we were milling around in the gym waiting for the weather to clear. How crazy and cool is that, you know?
Yeah.
But,
they need to stop my one. I played in the rain at Bentley when I went to the camp.
You did?
Yeah.
But you didn't meet Coach there. It's not the same. Stop interrupting on my story. This is our story.
Buffalo, go ahead.
Free. We got another thing going on. You and I will talk about that in a minute.
Tell Coach. We'll let y'all rock.
Josiah, so if I had spoken to you 3 or 4 days ago, I would have said, hey, everything's going great. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We ended up having a contact tracing outbreak on literally on Friday.
Wow.
And and you know, so we went 10 weeks and 3/4 of a week. We really, the thing, we had to shut down one group of testing. We had like 5 groups of testing. We had to shut down one group for testing. Mm-hmm. And, we were not able to do our spring scrimmage or our final scrimmage, which would have been yesterday.
Wow.
I know. And so the thing about it ends up being that, you know, we dwell a lot of times on COVID and the negativities of it. And I think we could all see that there's some things that are sprung from it that are good. And I don't mean to be dismissive of the challenges, but, you know, if we can learn that lesson that we don't know when our last practice will be, you know, and that, you know, every day that we have, if we got to make, we could all, I definitely need that lesson from time to time, because I tell you what, this last 10 and a half weeks, like I said, it has been a grind with the testing and the kids, and they've been great, but it's just been a grind. Mm-hmm. Part of it has been what I've said about everybody. It's like rebooting a big supercomputer. Or maybe it's like restarting a very, very cold old engine, you know, and you're trying to get it started and bringing different systems on board, whether it's an initially conditioning or whether it's initially, hey, I got to do the schoolwork and train this amount of time this week. Whereas in the past, they hadn't had to balance all that, whether it was, getting back into fundamentals and having guys play with a bent knee and taking on block, all of this has been like starting over to a good degree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dusting off offense and defense. Oh, yeah. Isn't this that? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It's actually instead it's this. We do this instead. So, you know, all of that's been good. And then on top of that, we've got a full class of freshman guys that are trying to figure out if the ball is pumped up or stuffed.
Right.
But it's largely been good. The spirit has been good. Mm-hmm. And they've been coming back online at a good rate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's disappointing. Everybody wants, like, this is the second time in a row that we've kind of disbanded campus, you know, just like, oh, it's over, and we never had any closure or any clarity to it. Yeah. But certainly we've accomplished a lot more this year than we did at this point in time last year.
100%.
And, you know, boy, man, we were testing three times a week, and you should have seen them all. You would have been so excited for guys. Everybody waking up every morning or three mornings a week between 6:15 and 7:15, because if they don't test, they don't practice. Mm-hmm. It was no complaints, at least not to me.
Right.
And it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
And, you know, I would expect that from them, you know, just because of how long, like we spoke about that earlier, how long they've gone without this sport. And we have to remember how much of a passion it is for a lot of us. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of players that are playing currently. So for them to say, okay, you need to do this, that, and the third to play again, I promise you there's not a lot of things that you would tell them that they would have to do that they would not do, you know, just because of how much they love the game. You know, if you love it, you're going to wake up at 6:15.
You're so right. You know, they were so willing and so open, you know, and I mean, all kinds of crazy things like, you can't go in the locker room or blah, blah, blah. We can only go in the locker room four at a time. And, you know, you got to change out in the field, like, you know, like in some of our high school programs that we've been around. And nobody batted an eye, you know, nobody batted an eye. And you dealt with it and say, okay, this is our way. This is the new way. Mm-hmm. And it was largely good. You know, I think to put it on a normal timeline, I don't think it's fair to the process. But I'm happy with the direction we're headed. Mm-hmm. I was glad we didn't play in the spring. You know, I just think there's too much fundamentally to bring people in line,
right?
Yeah. You know, and to teach them.
Right.
So,
right. And I love the fact that the spirits were high. You know, because that's something that's extremely hard to do when there isn't to like when you don't really see a season put together, or, you know, you're just training for this one spring game that may not have a meaningful impact on like rankings or anything like that. But the fact that, you know, we're here, we got to do what we have to do in order to get on this field. Like, it's hard to motivate and incentivize guys when there isn't something that they're really have their eyes fixated on, you know, just something that they know is going to have all of their hard work pay off. So to me, that sounds like that's just straight internal motivation that they have in order to get back on the field. And that's beautiful, because that's what you love in players.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how on spot you are there. Mm-hmm. We went 6 days a week for almost 11 weeks. And nobody flinched, you know. Yeah. You know our gig. We go out there, rain or shine, outside. And there was no days in the gym we were running outside, because they wouldn't let us in the gym to run outside. We got to go in the weight room, and that was our space. Mm-hmm. And so we would run outside, you know, whatever it was, 3 days a week. And initially it was 4 days a week. And nobody flinched, man. Everybody, you know, it was all that weight room. You want to talk about what their game day was? Mm-hmm. Cats love that weight room. Get back into that weight room. They loved it. And, you know, they say, okay, if that's what it takes to get back in the weight room and get back into that routine and get that balanced physical approach, you know, and then the freshmen would come on board and say, man, well, you know, and all the different details that TT Troy takes them through, you know, and then the conditioning came back online. And then after that, it became that we did these OTA type of days where it was skills and, you know, and all of these cats, you know, they didn't know if we were actually getting the football or not. They're just waiting and waiting and waiting patiently and doing all the right things and hoping for the best. And then we got the padded practices and it looked just like, you know, and love by the time we were working through these last 3-4 weeks. That's beautiful. You know,
and you know, just to touch back on what you were saying earlier about, you know, bringing that reminder back that you never know when your last game is or your last practice is. You know, I think, you know, COVID kind of made everybody kind of think about that. I remember when I was a football player, and even though you still had that mentality, mm-hmm. you know, it was sometimes it was a little bit less significant than others just because, you know, the grind and everyday yeah. process. Let's say in training camp, you know, you're not thinking every day, every practice about my last practice. You're thinking about, in freshman year, we had two days.
Two days, yeah. You're thinking, I'll get, if I don't get it right now, I know I have.
You're not really thinking yeah. about that. But for COVID to happen and for it literally to be like, you literally don't know when you're going to play football again. That I think that fear can motivate a lot out of an individual mm-hmm. who loves the sport the way a lot of people do, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, I'm so happy that right. those guys did that.
Yeah, I commend them a whole lot. I commend them for that.
Totally. Like, right, Reef, like you said right there, like, we're going to go into our exit meetings next week right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, normally you could look at a team and you could say, yeah, this guy looks like he's at the end of his rope. And there's always a surprise guy or two that, you know, they're going to retire from the sport. For mm-hmm. good reason, you know, time waits for no man. Football doesn't last for everybody. You know, mm-hmm. sooner or later, whether it's your health, whether it's your finance, whether it's your interests, whatever it is, football leaves most of us eventually. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in guys' eyes, but, you know, you end up looking at it and saying, boy, if y'all came back to campus where you didn't go to a class, you had very, very strict living conditions, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you want to be around this stuff.
Yeah.
So I think they all want to be there, yeah. you know?
It gives them a chance to socialize.
Right. This is our chance to really get away from the world. You know, things that are happening on, a lot of it, which we can't control. But when we step on this field, I know I can control how hard I go. My work ethic is dependent on me, you know? So I think that's really just a place of joy, really.
Yeah. Might be the only thing that seems normal to them.
Yeah.
100. It was like organized recess, you know?
yeah,
definitely.
Right.
All right, Coach. So.
So.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so, you know, that was just an update of plays that you do have in college. And what I really want this episode to really focus on is that recruiting process. So the kids that are trying to get into college, you know, work their way onto a collegiate team. And, you know, I wanted to get you on here so that they have an understanding of what that recruiting process is like, what it was like and what it is like now, because there are a lot of young athletes out there who don't know. And even when we yep. were going to school, me and Reef, when we were getting recruited, there were still a lot of kids who were unaware of how intricate this process can be and how early that you do have to get started if you're trying to put yourself in the best position. So that's why we really definitely wanted to get your take on this. The first question that we have geared towards that is, in what ways, you know, has COVID permanently changed that recruiting process? You know, not just the adjustments that you had to make this year, which you can include, but what do you think recruiting will look like down the road now that we were hit with the pandemic?
Yeah, I gave this one a good amount of thought because you bring it up the right way. Mm-hmm. Okay, hey, just because it was this way before, you know, it'll probably trend back in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But I think that Zoom communication or that appearance of face-to-face communication for home visits and family visits,
yeah,
I think that will end up being a standard. Yeah. And now everybody has a reference point to it, too. And we all get tired of our Zoom calls. We've all had enough of that right there. Yeah. But I think, yeah. And I think, you know, moms and dads and coaches and kids will understand that, hey, this is now a recognized or common form of communication.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to talk about doing a home visit, you know, where what we had a whole bunch of is where the family would sit down in front of the camera and you know, mom questions are different than dad questions are different yep. than student athlete questions. So when you can create that dialogue, it becomes far more complete. So we used to do that in a home visit. And even the home visits would, you know, you couldn't get as many done. Well, now with Zooms, you can get a lot done.
100%.
And you could say, hey, this family is on schedule and they understand recruiting. Or no, they've got their own picture of recruiting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can get a gauge for all that stuff. And you can find out, you know, hey, you know, there are some stereotypes, and it oftentimes it's, hey, mom is the one that's thinking about education and dad is thinking about athletics. And that's often what it is. Not always, but certainly sometimes it is. But you can get a feel for, okay, if I've got an issue with this, I would reach out to this person in the circle of trust. Mm-hmm. And if I've got a question about this, I would bring this person. Or I can say to the recruiting coach, hey, you've got to have a side conversation with this family because, you know, they don't understand this, or, you know, because there are so many misconceptions. They don't know. And God bless somebody who walks blindly into a circumstance with confidence. That's an amazing gift. And sometimes it's on point, but many times it's not, right. You know, or at least from the direction that we sit, you know. So I think that Zoom call and that ability that maybe you would get that on a campus tour, you would get that in a home visit, I think that will become a supplement to the whole process, a regular.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I think that's actually, like you said, we've had enough about Zoom calls, but I think at this point in time, that is something that can definitely be used for a purpose like that. And I do believe that it gives parents and families just a chance to really be able to sit down with a coach, because sometimes I've never had a home visit, so I wouldn't know, but people of the family may not be able to make that home visit or anything like that, or really understand the significance behind it. But a Zoom call, like you said, you can knock a lot out. And you can talk to a lot of different people with it as well. So I think Zoom is something that's definitely vital. And it shows its importance, especially nowadays.
Right. And it's not the same as eye-to-eye contact. Right. Because the camera is a little bit. But you could see body language.
Yeah,
could see items. You could see items that perked interest. Mm-hmm. You could see items they weren't interested in. You know, you could see a guy who makes a good presentation who's got his head up and his shoulders back. And you say, oh, we got a good foundation. You know, all that stuff comes out. And you say, well, you know, well, at least he recognizes that, or he's trying at that stuff, right? And, you know, I could pull the Andy Rondo and say, hey, look it, shut that TV off in the background. We're here for each other, right? Yeah. And I can do those things that maybe you can't if you're just working off of email or social media or even a phone call, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's huge. Body language, definitely. That was beautiful. I think whoever's watching this, make sure you're paying attention to that, because that all of that stuff, you know, coaches is writing notes. They're taking notes down of everything. Next question I wanted to get into, Coach, is, you know, how important is film now? You know, that players can get on campus, you know, for a campus visit or a tour or an in-person workout. I know I've attended one of those, didn't you? You attended one, Reef?
Yeah.
In-person workout. And then also being that coaches may not be able to attend games like how they used to. So how important is film now?
Well, yeah, it is. And I think in our sport, you know, because of the broad size of a recruiting class, you know, there's going to be 30 or 35 kids in a class.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't ever get to see them all playing games. So it's always been big. And like you said, those workout environments.
Yep.
I would tell you that we weren't able to have workouts on campus this year, but we did sneak to some of those privately run workouts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And whether you can get to that engagement right there. And I don't think there's any such thing as a bad workout, right? It might not have been the best. It might have been overcrowded. It might have been less coached, but I don't think we can have a bad one there.
Yeah.
So all of those things, I think this summer are paramount, because there's a whole bunch of colleges right now that are very skittery about what will camps look like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm normally not an advocate of a privately run workout or, combine or whatever they call them these days.
Because
sometimes they can be a money grab where a guy is just going to count the money.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what other avenue we got.
Yeah.
You know, I think that might be as good as we've got at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
If the colleges are nervous about having camps on campus. But the video, like you said, is giant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll try to bring it really close to home right now. My son is a rising senior, mm-hmm. and he just went through this spring season right there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got to see all of his games. I got to go to all his games. As a parent, he had six games. And Reef, I don't know if he's going to listen to this, Josiah. I don't know if he's going to listen to this, but let me tell you something. He don't run to the ball, and he don't finish. And he thinks he's doing a good job right there. Like on the hit squad, he ain't the first guy down the field on kickoff. Uh-huh. And I just say, hey, you ain't good enough. So now you ain't good enough to be third.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know Rondo going to be on you for that one. You know he's going to be on you for that one.
You know, who do you think you're going to be if you're not first down the field on the kickoff?
Yeah.
But, and it's so hard, you know, if you are a player that aspires to go to another level, then you have to do things that nobody else is doing at the level you're at.
Yep. Mm,
and, man, how are you going to say, you know, well, I'm the best of a bunch of guys that aren't going on to play in college. What? Yeah. So what? Right?
Yeah.
So the video is huge. And like we've established, okay, I don't know how much reps there's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, this group of seniors up in this part of New York, they got to play, you know, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 games. You know, and again, I'll keep it to my son and try to wear a couple of hats. You know, shoot, he had like 3 catches. So it ain't going to be stats.
Yeah.
You know, the stats are, people think of stats based on a normal length season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be about other evaluation points. And the video is huge. Yeah. If I go back and the honesty of it ends up being the bulk of our signing class was kids from areas that played.
Mm.
And
okay,
it is. And, you know, this is for, you know, parents and family members and coaches, you know, the people who aren't able to put it together for the programs and the leagues and the regions and the counties and the boroughs, their kids are getting hurt.
Yeah.
Kids are getting hurt for their opportunity, you know, and let alone, you know, the devices that kids will go to when they don't have programming, when they don't have structure.
Yep.
And all of us can fall off the wagon that way. I love to take a nap on a couch when I got nothing to do, you know, but, you know, let alone opportunities that are lesser for it. So the video is huge. Yep. It's huge. And so now the trick ends up being, okay, how will you be prepared for the shorter number of opportunities that exist? If you're a class of 22 kid and God willing, we're going to play football this fall. And if you've been away from it that long, how are you going to do something? And it's going to be really hard on kids.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really hard. And they'll have no idea.
You know, I didn't even think about that.
This,
I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, bottleneck. Some of these sophomores. Oh, my focus. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Reef.
No, I was gonna say I didn't think about the fact like some of these, like let's say you were a junior, you know, what I mean, last year before COVID happened, you know, I was a sophomore, and now 2 years in, New York City public high schools, for example, 2 years in, you didn't get a season. You know what I mean? Now you're looking at potentially going into college. Let's say you do, thank God, do get recruited. You're going into college without 2 years that you didn't even play in high school yet. You expected to play at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't even have those two last years of experience in the high school season yet. So yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to think about.
And I take myself as an example. I need it every year.
Yeah, definitely.
I wasn't able to play my sophomore season due to injuries. I have played my junior season, but and coach, I know you can attest to this, but every year that I played in college, I needed those reps, you know, to develop myself as a player. And that's huge. And that's just me working out on my own. You need those in-game reps.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And but then we get back to that deal that we always come back to when we talk about pressure versus stress.
Yep.
What's in our control is pressure. What's out of our control is stress.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got what you got, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, so, you know, if I would use as an example, and fortunately this hasn't been this way, hey, if you let it be about, I just got 3 catches, that ain't in your control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about all the other things that are in your control that if you really want to do this, if you really want to live this lifestyle, there's going to be a difference between a lifestyle and an activity.
Yeah.
And if you really want to live this lifestyle, Well, then you got to act on that lashdown. You got to be on that kick hush team. You got to be screaming down the field, yeah. you know, and yeah. you've got to show up on the stock blocks and perimeter tackle, blah, 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 blah. You guys know that, yeah. you know.
Yeah. Me and you have literally had that talk before.
You really want to, if you really want to train,
yeah.
well, train, man. Train, man. You know. Mm-hmm.
Now, Coach, I want to add this. I know this is, since we're on the topic of film, I just want to piggyback off of it. I have yep. a young athlete that I know. He's currently in high school. He's getting ready to be a rising senior. Now, he doesn't have a lot of in-game film that's readily available for evaluation. But what about if I can help him get, you know, kind of like a combine, I would say, type of deal where we're going through drills and I'll just have the recordings there for him as he goes through those drills and kind of put that together just so coaches can get a sense of his movement on the field and, you know, things of that nature. How does, is that something 100. That can be beneficial for him, even though he doesn't have those? 100. Yep.
100. I think all of these things, like if we start looking at, you know, you want to show somebody how tall you are.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these resources. You guys talk about all the equipment that you have at your fingertip that's become largely like just what we carry in our hands in the iPhone. You know, there's so much power in that right there. Mm-hmm. So how you can go about representing your height, okay? You can write it down on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. and we all know most people lie about that. And the coaches are looking for indisputable truth about what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you could go and create a system in which you could represent it on video. You can go ahead and represent a system that shows how much you weigh.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and represent what your wingspan is, mm-hmm. what your body structure is. You can give people, we watch it every day in all of our social media content. People paint a picture and tell a story.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now we've all been blessed and spoiled with games that painted our, gave us the structure for the story we wanted to paint. Okay, paint your story. Mm-hmm. So whether it ends up being, you've got to represent what you are physically.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to represent what you can do. And I think real things like change of direction, like yep. bending your knees, you know, straight line speed, I still don't know how to represent that on video. Like seeing a 40-yard dash run, you know, even on the NFL Network, they put they screen in a slow guy and a fast guy to represent the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know how to do that, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's as big of a thing as we make it to be anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, competitive things that end up being one-on-ones and, you know, all of those sorts of things that if the structure that exists in a practice habit that you know, hey, you know one-on-ones matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know you could do half line 7-on-7.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know that if the quarterback is going to use structure and technique, you guys both know about that as yep. quarterbacks, mm-hmm. structure and technique required of a quarterback to demonstrate a skill set.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We've got to tell the story. And the story will be told or not based on what we decide to put on the resources we have.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Coach, I had another question for you as well too. Because I think COVID kind of, you touched upon it before with the Burrows and, you know, how they've been, you know, not really concrete on what they're going to exactly do with the season and things of that nature. And I think it kind of shines a light on an issue that me and Josiah have talked about for years. And it's just the underdevelopment or the lack of care for the New York City football athletes specifically. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, in terms of looking at all the New York City athletes that have come and gone throughout your program, looking at a new kid that's coming into or trying to go to school, trying to go to a college, what is the one thing that you think that a New York athlete could do better for themselves in order to give themselves a better strategic advantage when it comes to recruiting in the college process?
That's a good question.
Ooh, boy, you know it's hard to get me to shut up. You might have got me to shut up on that one right there.
That's a good question.
No, doggy. So I always paint this picture right there. How do you get ready for something that you don't know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the whole nature of up and next level. If we use the analogy of a video game in that we get to the next level And man, it's so much harder than the previous level.
Yeah.
You know, I use the analogy of becoming a father. Yeah, yeah, I want to have a kid. It's going to be awesome. My wife's pregnant, da-da-da. Oh, man, that ain't what I thought it would be. Or getting, you know, and yeah. It's kind of the Little League version when you're trying to make the move to college. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and boy, you know, the guys who can give it a reference point, whether it ends up being somebody who experienced in college, was around it in college, or somebody who's willing to connect people to that environment. It's as simple as this. If you want to swim in that pool, swim with those fish, you kind of get to know other fish like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We only know, you know, hey, if I want to be a coach, I better hang around with coaches.
Yeah.
And if you want to be a financial advisor, you better hang around with a financial advisor.
Yeah.
And I think that ends up being it. And you know what? Let me not make it eliminate people out of this. We all know people who are tremendous resources and mentors to young men that might not have been that. But mm-hmm. maybe they'll hold their feet to the fire like they'll experience in college.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll – and, boy, let's be really clear. You know, how much is available – on social media now more than ever before.
That's true.
To end up saying, this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Now, what people do is they pick and choose what they want, right? But if you look at, you know, just think about, you guys ever see Sideline Hustle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Completely dedicated toward the skills that need to be developed mm-hmm. to be a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
if you're an athlete, just watch the videos. Yep.
Shoot yourself on video.
Yeah.
Do you look like that? Okay. No, I don't. Well, how do I work on it?
Right.
They'll tell you exactly how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but mm-hmm. that's the trick right there. We all know the difference too. Hey, most people, me with my ADD, I do way better in a classroom with a teacher in front of me who's telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask me to do it on my own in an online course, I'm not going
to
do as good of a job.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
But that mentorship thing is huge.
Yeah.
Who are you going for? Who are your resources? How are you figuring it out?
Yeah.
And it's funny, a lot of people don't talk about, as much as, you know, those people don't, like, let's say a regular New York City athlete don't have, you know, easy access or something like that. There's also the fault of you not striving to find that. You know what I mean? Because like Coach said, you could definitely go to social media nowadays, and that's 100% right. It's all at your fingertips. It's just about how hard do you want to find it.
Right.
You know, I like that a lot.
Right. And, and it's really hard, right? I mean, how do you lift yourself up by the bootstraps? How do you get to a place you don't know how to get to?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's rare air. Right. And, you know, to end up getting to college and play football, it's rare air.
Yeah.
How many, we all know it's a hard deal, right?
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get to it, you might not know how hard it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
exactly.
I for sure didn't.
Yeah.
But you had people that helped you get there.
Yeah.
And you were driven enough to say, all right, let's do it.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. My parents definitely made sure. They got me to whatever camps necessary. New England Elite, we went there twice. We went to Delaware State. We went to New Haven camps. We went to, you know, just other showcases and everything like that, because I didn't necessarily know anybody. Because I wouldn't say I didn't know anybody who played college ball, but I didn't know anybody like directly, like personally, to where they were like my brother, my cousin, my nephew, my neighbor, anything like that. I didn't know anybody who really, and not only just played college ball, but finished it, like played all four seasons in college. That was something that was extremely hard to find. So it was truly a blessing that we was able to do that. And me and Reef, we always talk about this, regardless of, whatever adversity we went through when we played college ball, we were proud in the fact that we were among the few that we knew from our graduating class and the classes before us that was able not only to play college ball, but to last all four seasons.
Yeah.
You know, even when you look at the, especially from the boroughs, even if you look at the plays that came in with our recruiting class, Not a lot of them finished all 4 years that came out of the borough. So that was definitely something that we were extremely proud of accomplishing. And
it,
now
it goes back. It goes back to what Rondo was saying with, you know, like, how much do you understand of what's going to be asked of you when you get there? You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of it had to do with the discipline structure. You didn't have that same discipline structure in high school football in New York City to like what you have in college football. So now you're saying that you love it enough. You're saying that you're passionate about it enough, but you haven't really tested that fire to show if you really are yet.
True.
You know what I mean? So now you get to the college atmosphere and it's like, all right, do you really love it? Because now you're going to have to wake up this morning, you know what I mean, and start and have these adversities to go through your freshman year. You know what I mean? Your sophomore year, you're going to put pressure on yourself and all that. All the things that come in with that is nothing compared to what you go through in high school. So now it really tests your how much do you really love the sport of football? Like, how much do you want to do this despite everything you're going through?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And now think about it from this seat, the platform that you guys have. And so maybe if you rewind the 5 or 6 years when you were in that similar situation, would you have had the courage to go to somebody like yourself, even though you didn't know them, and say, hey, would you give me some pointers? Because knowing what you know now and even what you're doing right now, you're more than willing to attend to the people that were willing to ask the question.
Yep, absolutely.
And as a young person, they just don't know the questions to ask.
Right.
You know, or they might not have the courage to say, hey, throw me a bone. Send me out a path. What do I need to do? You know?
And, you know, going back to what you were saying with the stats and, you know, how some people, you know, hang their hat on that a lot, I think that has something to do with a lot of, you know, why these kids aren't going out and actively searching.
Yeah.
You know, I think back to when I was a high school athlete and I was putting up whatever numbers I was putting up as a quarterback, you know, in New York City public high school, I was, you know, putting up numbers. You know, I got New York City all team quarterback, this and the third, you know, because of the numbers I put up. But it was against, like Rondo said, you know, a lesser talent. It's a lot of people who aren't going to go play at the next level.
Right.
You know, so, but for me, it's like, I'm feeling like I'm nice because I'm doing all these numbers. So, hey, like, maybe I'm good enough to get there. Not knowing that, yo, you have a whole lot to work on before you get to that point. You know, so numbers do get to a person's head if they don't, you know, analyze it properly.
Or even if they're put, like, in, if I don't even know what I'm trying to say with that, but I do want to get to the fact that, especially around here, you know, or even just in high school in general, we look at it as just fun. You know, we're just having fun. And I remember a motivational speaker. I think it was either Inky Johnson or Eric Thomas, right? I think one of them. They was like, "Yeah, it's fun now, but what happens when it's not fun? Like, what happens if you hit something that's a lot tougher than you? Where will your motivation come from to get you through that hump?" And that's exactly what collegiate sports is. Like, it sometimes it can go from fun to not fun real quick.
We talked about that.
Yeah. And it's like, not fun at all.
Me and Joe said so many times, bro, it was like, yo, high school football was just mad fun. Yeah. Like, college football feels more like even though you still love the sport, it feels more like a job than it is what you were doing in high school, which was just you having fun.
Yeah.
So now I was like, how much do you really love it, bro?
And I think being that that's the case, it filters out a lot of kids. You know, because now they're looking at it as, I'm not having as much fun as I did in high school. I don't even want to play anymore, rather than digging deep within themselves and knowing that this is what comes with the game when I get to this level. You know, I'm going to have to start getting a different type of work ethic, a different type of mindset. I got to understand that there's a lot more than it just being fun in order for me to be successful on this level. And, you know, if you don't have anybody to tell you that, how will you know? Unless you go through it. And even when you go through it, you just like, all right, you know what? That's it. I'm done. You know?
My son is playing rec league baseball. And he dropped playing baseball after like eighth grade. And he said, "No, I only want baseball to be fun. I don't want to have it be a chore."
Yeah.
And that's good. So baseball for him, he was clear on it. Baseball for him was an activity. Okay. But we've got to find the guys that it's a lifestyle. It's got to be a part of your life every day, you know, every day, every day, every day, every day. If it's not in your lifestyle every day, then, you know, it's like a diet. Diets don't work because you come off a diet, but is it your lifestyle about what you're putting into your body? You know, and I think we're the same way, you know, whereas like, you're right. There are times that it feels like a job because of the grind and all that, you know, but nobody asks you to like your job, and you don't come back to something in your job and say, well, this is the day I'm waiting for. I'm working to this edit, you know,
yep.
You know, I've had guys who have gone into business and sales who used to coach, and they say, geez, there was always that achievement that you could end up taking pleasure in the game for just a minute, and then you can move forward. Well, you get that sale, nobody cares.
Yep.
Get another one. Get another one. Get another one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's true.
Yeah, but that's what I miss about football the most. Just like that feeling of always, like, you know, striving to get to somewhere, and feeling the satisfaction of getting to that point, because it is a big moment.
Yeah.
When you hit that 400 or 405, but when you get your first tackle in a game, it's like that feeling, like, it's like, yeah,
this is what they meant with hard work pay off.
Yep.
Yeah, or even, boy, just getting on the bus.
Yes.
I mean, I've been doing that for 30 years, and I just say, let's go on a bus to play a game. What kind of country is this? This is great. I'm on a bus with all these dudes, and we're going to go play a game somewhere. Yeah. How great is that?
Yeah. Definitely.
Making the bus, you know, too. Oof. Making
you better
the,
be on time.
Yeah, every, yeah.
Oh man, it was always the funniest thing, just watching a couple of those stragglers running up down the hill.
Down the hill, Janet.
Oh man.
All right, Coach. Yeah. Next question that I have for you, and I think this is really just more specific to those who are getting ready to go into their senior season, I would say, and even some that had their senior season already, but. What's the process like evaluating players who didn't have a senior season, you know?
Well, okay. All right. I'm going to dig in, and you tell me if I'm too deep or too vague.
Okay.
Okay. Recruiting is a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's take quarterback. There's only one starting quarterback. And let's take lineman. Okay. There ends up being five of those guys who start. There's one running back on the field at the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's four DBs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a numbers game to start.
Yep.
Okay? So I get a little bit surprised, or I think it's naive comment, that you guys are perfect examples. Okay? Because you said, I'll do whatever it takes to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go wherever you need me to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognize the numbers, and you recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So.
Yeah,
I get a kick out of kids who say at the age of 16 or 17, I'm this.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, how do you know what you are? Why are you going to go and limit yourself or define yourself at 18, 16? You know, be what you can be, because it's a numbers game. Now, how else is it a numbers game? It's a numbers game because it starts off with raw numbers,
mm-hmm.
height, weight, strength.
Yeah.
Right? It starts with that. Now, what happens in the numbers game is, you know, we can watch it in the draft next week. The tallest and the fastest and the strongest guys are going to go soonest, whether that's right or wrong.
Yep.
That's low-hanging fruit for we evaluators to end up saying, I did good, right? This guy had all the numbers.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the low-hanging fruit. So as the field becomes more equal in the way they are physically structured, there's got to be something else,
mm-hmm.
right? What else is going to separate you? What else is going to separate you from the pack? You know, and we can get into all of things that are intangible. Is it your effort? Is it your physical play? Is it your spirit? You know, so I always will ask people, hey, what's your point of difference? What separates you? And I struggle with, you know, have you guys ever met anybody who says, hey, I don't work very hard? I think everybody thinks they're working hard. They're working to the hardest of their ability.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, how does that represent on videotape? How does that represent on the tape that you shot?
Mm-hmm.
How are you painting that picture? So as the numbers game, as the bodies become more similar, okay, I'm going to give less grace in the transcript.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give less grace on, hey, if I got a cat on the team, I won't name names. He's 6'4". He's 220 right there. And his effort is suspect. But I'm going to try to see if we can get him going.
Yeah.
Because if he gets going, that's what we're all looking for.
Yeah.
But I also got a cat who's 5'10" and he'd run through the side of the facility if you had,
mm-hmm.
and that cat probably gonna be on the bus.
Yeah.
You know? As it narrows down, if you can take real looks at what you are and you say, I my brother's a high school coach and he's got a very good high school program. Mm-hmm. And he called me up and he said, "Hey, this kid on my team wants to play receiver at Harvard."
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy for me right there. And he said, "He's a 4.0 and he's got a great test score and da 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 da." And it was easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "How tall is he?" "Well, he's 5'10". I go, "Well, he's not going to Harvard."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "But he's this and he's that and he's this and he's that." And I go, "All you got to do is look at their roster.
Mm-hmm.
All of Harvard's receivers are 6 foot plus.
Yeah.
All of them." And so if a guy goes to practice and he could say, "I look like those guys," or if he could go on the webpage and say, "Hey, this is what they're looking for,"
mm-hmm.
then you can know.
Okay.
And like, you know, there's only so many exceptions to the rule. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a rule.
Right.
You know, and my man who's the 5'8", let's see, what could he be that we say? We say that he's the 5'8" tailback. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's got to go with something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you have that something else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that what goes with that something else ends up being speed. Or quickness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the ability to make somebody miss.
Yeah.
Okay? But I still love the game. Okay, so what else you got? You mm-hmm. got something else. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
And that honesty is really, really hard. Can you look can you go and look at that school? You know how it is. You know, a guy ends up saying, "Hey, I want D1.
Yep.
Okay.
Heard right? that a lot.
Okay, I want to win the lottery, man.
Yeah.
I used to want to marry a model, but come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's something there for all of us.
Yep.
And the right spot will find us if we don't limit ourselves by saying, "I'm a wide receiver, but you might be a DB."
True.
I wanna go D1. Well, you might be a Division III player that'll have a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the biggest part, you know? Having a great experience, you know. What's the point of going to D1 if you're not gonna get the opportunity to play and have fun? You know, go to D2,
right.
Go to D3, enjoy your college football years, you know.
And you guys know that. You went through all the toils and you dealt with all the adversities that end up being academically and financially and every other which way.
Yep.
Which at the end of the time right there, you say, "Don't worry about all that stuff too much."
Mm-hmm.
You know, do your best. Mm-hmm. Find a spot. And that's what every coach says, but that's what every kid ain't wanting to hear, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know. I think I got off track on that, Josiah.
I think that was actually beautifully put, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
And it really makes a lot of sense, you know. And just to see if I could try to break it down for those who are watching, because if you're not really in tune to what goes on and playing football in that recruiting process, that may kind of gone over your head a little bit. But essentially what he was saying when he started off with the numbers game is you got to recognize that there's only 22 players on the field at a time, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, and you're about one deep at every position most of the game. There are other positions that have different rotations, but it's not like you're always going to have the second or third string QB playing. So when you're going through that recruiting process, especially if you missed out on that season, understand that there's more to the game than playing that one position, and don't limit yourself to that one position. Be open to playing other positions and work on the drills necessary to be successful at those other positions should you have to play it. And I think that's extremely important, because coming out of high school, I was one of those kids who was like, "I'm playing QB."
You know, like, to touch on that,
I'm playing QB.
I have a personal story that comes full circle with that. When I was in high school, and you know, my high school coach, if he watches this, could definitely But you know, when I was in high school, I think it was my sophomore, junior year, we were having a defensive minded practice. Most of the time, I was playing scout team QB. It came to a point I was a starting quarterback. They didn't want me to do scout team QB. But at the same time, too, you know, I'm not gonna just stand there, you know, in practice. So my coach came to me, was like, "Hey, I want you to take D-line reps."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I looked at him like, are you nuts? I'm not touching the D-line. Right. So I'm like, yeah, all right. So I go over there, and I promise you, in those 2 weeks, I am just BSing everything, you know, mm-hmm. like just, I mean, I'm not distracting the team, but I'm just not taking it serious at all, yeah. right? And it gets to a point, the D-line coach goes back to my head coach and is like, hey, man, this kid's not taking it seriously. Just move him back to quarterback. So he was like, all right, Sharif, just keep on doing just only quarterback. 4 years later, guess what?
Playing D-line. Playing D-line.
Guess what I ended up playing. So it's just like, you know, had I taken that opportunity to really take it serious, like, hey, yeah. this might be another position I could be really good at. Yeah. Let me see what's up with this.
Yeah.
Maybe when Coach Rondo did decide to make me a defensive player, a D-lineman, mm-hmm. maybe I would have had some experience under right. my belt to take into that situation. Like, all right, right, I have an idea of what I got to do here. Instead of Rondo and Mincy and, you know, Gruber and Lazarca all attest to the raw, the rawness that they had to, you know, take and mold, yeah, and mold to make yeah. a defensive player, you mm-hmm. know, so... Yeah, definitely.
And had you taken it serious, it probably, being that it came back full circle, it probably would have bumped you up in the depth chart because you would have had some sort of knowledge in order to play that position. And then another thing I want to throw in there is special teams. Special yeah. teams are important, especially when it comes to college, man. I'm telling you, lot of people make money off of special teams.
100%.
A lot of people make the bus off of special teams. So, like he was saying, it's the numbers game. And you got to recognize that and understand that, you know what, if it's just a matter of me playing, then there's certain sacrifices that I have to make regardless of the positions that I've been playing now. Understand that at some point in time, you may be asked or called to do something else, you know, based off of the attributes that you have, you know. Now, does that make sense, Coach?
No, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I could put it down on a personal level, mm-hmm. right, when a kid or a player is asked about another position,
mm-hmm.
he's either thrown or offended oftentimes,
mm-hmm.
yep. and or dismissive. And if he could think about it, that coach didn't have – he saw something in that guy mm-hmm. to say, this guy is a dude, but he's just not in his right spot yet.
Mm-hmm.
So. Dude. I wish guys would see it as an opportunity
yeah.
rather than a sentence.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or, and, you know, that coach could just as easily have said, yeah, just leave him a scout quarterback. But he saw something in you,
mm-hmm,
Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, could you have the wisdom or could you take that opportunity to say, all right.
Yeah. yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah.
You know. But that's the old man speaking, right?
Yeah,
you know, with right. a lot of
yeah,
talking,
yeah.
All right, Coach. Last question that I have for you. I'm not sure if Reeve has one, but I think that this is something players should definitely take into consideration too, because there's a lot of things that you can be evaluated with on the field, but also off, and I think they tend to forget that. So the last question that I have for you is what are you looking for in players when it comes to recruiting? You know, like what's the type of dude you like to bring into your program?
Yeah. Okay. So this is really clean, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a system that, you know, we send the coaches out and we make it really clean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's four areas that we're going to evaluate a guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's four. And I'll tell you the four in a second. If he can hit all four, then he'll probably be successful.
Mm-hmm.
If he can hit three out of four, he's got good chances too. Mm-hmm. If he's two out of four, boy, we better have a plan for that guy and we better give him attention. Yeah. And if he's only got one, well, we're probably chasing the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the four that we'll talk about is we'll talk about number one, academics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Can he cut it at our institution? Mm-hmm. And, you know, every institution has their own threshold.
Right.
But I know I can get a lot of cats in the pace, but if I'm selfish like that, I can get them in. But if they can't keep up with it, well, that's really selfish on my part.
Yeah.
So I want to take a guy that can do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the academic part right there. And you can see it right there. You can see it on a transcript. It lays out, and I'll even take the guy who figures it out after his sophomore year, I'll take that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the classes that he's taken. You can see whether he's going to end up taking just the minimum. You know, I can always tell on this. When a coach calls me up and says, hey, what's the minimum SAT you need to get into pace? I now say to the coaches, I say, hey, coach, what coach do you know that talks about minimums?
Right.
I like that.
What coach do you know? Say, hey, what do I need? Come on, man. You know, nobody's talking about getting the least out of a situation.
Yeah,
go big or go home.
Yeah, come on, man. So academics one. Now, the realistic nature of our place is finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we look at the profile of the students, and you guys know what we can do aid-wise and what we can't.
Yeah.
Right? And not a single stitch of our guys is on a full scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of guys that come in on none. There's some that earn. And there's all those scenarios. But again, I set a kid up for failure if his family can't handle the situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair. What? You got to leave after a year and you got debt and you go into collections. So that's a real piece right there that, you know, and, you know, is a student going to be willing to find out, okay, how's financial aid work at your place?
Mm-hmm.
So it can get down to a real place. So that's two. Three ends up being, what is, like, we have for every position, we have what we call non-negotiables. We say, we need these items to exist at this position. Damian Mincy was great at talking about ideals versus non-negotiables. He's got to fall somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then finally, it ends up being, whether it ends up being the character or the passion or, I love a gym rat now. I love a guy who played three sports. Mm-hmm. Hey, I did track. I did basketball. I did everything because what you just wanted to be around competition. You wanted that structure in your life.
Yep.
You wanted somebody giving you direction.
Yep.
I love those guys,
mm-hmm.
you know. So in those four things, you know, if you end up saying the academics, the finances, the non-negotiable skill set, and then, you know, the character piece right there.
Yep.
Those are the things, and that's what we talk about all the time. We talk about those four things, and that's the way we break in a new coach. That's the way we hold the standard for the board, you know, and you can find out if a coach is falling in love with a guy's ability and he only has that one arrow up. Well, we ought to keep walking because the other, it's going to be a bad thing for him eventually.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we do it. And, you know, and you say, well, okay, well, how do you evaluate that? Well, now I go back to the thing we started at the beginning and we say, what kind of cues and presentation and genuine characteristics can we witness in a dialogue, in a practice, in a basketball practice? You know, what can we witness? If, like, I like calling the people, like, who don't have skin in the game, you know, and when I was a regular air recruiter, you know, go ahead and ask the security guard.
Mm.
Go ahead and ask the guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go ahead and ask somebody who doesn't know what you're really poking around about. I asked the coach, and well, coaches are going to be supportive of their kids.
Right.
You know, and if you have rapport with the coach, maybe he'll give you the full story.
Yeah.
But coaches are going to be supportive of kids. They are.
Yeah.
But who else is going to give you the other context clues about who that individual really is?
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot because, you know, that goes for athletes too. Yeah. You know, like, don't think that you just need to be on tip-top shape and tip-top behavior and be a class act only on the field. You know, I know a lot of kids that will literally, like not care about anything throughout this class day in high school and then, you know, become a whole different person when it comes to the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know who your coach is going to have to talk to or that collegiate recruiter is going to have to talk to in order to get a better idea of you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep yourself in line at all times, you know? I like that a lot.
And it could be that teacher whose class that you just raise hell in, you know, whether it's a math class or it's a environmental science class that you don't think you need. And it's like, okay, well, now the coach is getting ready to talk to that teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or that professor, that educator, whatever the title is. And they're actually giving the coach the raw and the real you of what you act like in that classroom. And now they're taking that into account when it's time to get you recruited.
Yep.
Yep.
How about this simple little one right there? If you look on the transcript and you can look at the absences, look at the number of times that guy is absent. Now you're going to know, you know, if you see two or three, you say, okay, the dude shows up every day, 10 or 11. Okay. The guy's finding a reason not to be there. Yeah. More than that, well, he don't give a crap. So
that's good.
There's all these little context clues that you can start to form something other than the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Because every kid wants to be recognized for the person he is,
mm-hmm.
not just the skills he possesses.
Yeah.
You know, we're dealing on a human level. This is human beings right here. This is not trafficking of skills.
Yeah.
This is life, man. Yeah. This is next level stuff. It is bigger than the game.
100%.
Most definitely. That was beautiful. that was beautiful, coach. That's all I had. Reef, I'm not sure if you had anything you wanted to add to it.
Bro, you forget that we went over those questions together.
So just wanted to make sure, and you know, nothing that just came off the top during the whole episode.
Oh, nah, man. You know, Coach Rondo gives extensive answers, so you never leave with questions, man.
That's true. Yeah, he covered everything. Coach, you've tackled everything that a lot of parents, not just athletes, but a lot of parents, I think, needed to know, you know, just so that they can have a better understanding on how this process is. And even when we were getting, recruiting or whatever, we didn't really have an idea on what it was like getting recruited for football. You know, my sister, she was 2 years older than me. She got recruited for basketball, but football is a whole nother, this is a different beast. Mm-hmm. It's a different beast. So, mm-hmm. I think that the information, go ahead. Yep.
Girls are different than boys. Yeah. They're just different. Yeah. Whole different developmental cycle there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm killing your whole airtime here, aren't I?
No, this is beautiful. The information that you have given us, I think, is extremely vital for those athletes who are out there, especially in the five boroughs. Please, we've been through this process. You know, we just want to make sure that the kids coming up behind us has this information available for them so they can get to the levels we did or even higher. That's always the mm-hmm. goal. We want y'all to get past where we were. You know, we didn't have the information, so we are giving it to you now so you have it. You know, we want y'all to get recruited. We want y'all to be successful. We want y'all to experience college, you know. Even, forget the sports. There's a lot of kids who didn't even go through full 4 years of college. So we want y'all to be able to do that as well.
And it's funny because you said, like, you know, we were able to experience it and everything. But, like, even when I was – I thank God that everything happened the way it did.
Yeah.
Because even when I was a senior in high school, you know, yeah, I had a little bit more knowledge than the next person. Yeah, I was a little bit more, you know, driven and hungry to get more knowledge than the next person. But I definitely walked into my recruiting process. I definitely committed into the school that I went to with a lot of it blindly, you know? And I thank God that I was able to come to a place like Pace, you know, and have the experiences I did, because I could have ended up completely at another place, you know, that didn't work for me. And then I ended up, so, you know,
completely different outcome. Yeah.
To learn as much as you possibly can. And when it comes to you deciding where you want to go and how those 4 years are going to go for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we definitely appreciate you, Coach.
Yeah. I would be remiss if I don't say this. So you two guys are the rare air. You guys are the winners. You guys are the champions. You beat all the odds.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be really clear. The odds were not in your favor.
Yeah.
It was stacked against you. And you had great persistence and a great approach. And you were everyday learners.
Mm-hmm.
And that cannot, you know, what you did, you make it sound like it was easy, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And what you guys were able to accomplish through the course of your time and through recruiting beyond, it's unbelievable. It is rare air. And everybody wants to say, okay, tell me about your stats in college and all that. Well, let me just tell you, you are elite.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are elite. Stats, liars figure and figures lie. They don't matter. They don't.
I like that.
Dude.
Coach got a lot of gems. I like that.
Yes, sir. But like I said, Coach, we definitely appreciate you taking the time out to join us for this podcast.
Definitely.
People who are out there, please tune into this. This is extremely good information that is definitely needed, especially if you have a young athlete at home. Get them recruited. And we're trying to give you the keys in order to make that happen. So tune in with us. We're on YouTube at DBOnTV. We're on Instagram at @D_DB_podcast. We're on Spotify. What else? We got Apple Podcasts. So please give us a listen wherever you can reach us. It's always going to be good information. So thank you for joining us.
Hey, if you guys are getting recruited, if you don't see yourself having a great relationship with your coach like we do with our coach after you finish, you're probably not the place you want to go.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Thank you.